Okay, today is January 11th, 2017, and I'm sitting here with Ron Grunch and Elaine Grunch, and Ed May is also joining us. So thank you for coming and agreeing to be part of this. So I think we'll start with your legal name.
Ronald Joseph Grunch.
And what year were you born? What's your birthday, I guess?
April 25th, 1942.
Great, thank you. So our first question is, when and where were you born?
I was born at Grace Hospital in Detroit, Michigan.
Got it. And you were born in the hospital?
Yes.
That's kind of unusual from some of the people we've been talking to.
That's true, at that age.
Yeah. What were your parents' names?
My father's name was Raymond, and my mother's name was Helen. They're both deceased.
And what was your mother's maiden name?
Burgel.
B-U-R-G-E-L. Okay. That's one thing that they asked us to get from people, because when your ancestors down the road are doing some genealogy research, having your mother's maiden name is an important piece of information. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and what did they do for a living?
Well, I was born during World War II, and my dad worked in the armaments business and the construction business of war plants.
Got it.
I worked for a company called Barber Green. And we lived in Detroit for a couple of years. We lived in Memphis, Tennessee for a few years. Lived in Billings, Montana for a year. And then back to Berkeley, Michigan for a couple of years, and then to... When my mother passed away, I was age 12, we moved to Charlevoix. Mm. And I'm the oldest of six kids.
Boys.
My mother left six boys behind that died of leukemia, and it was a real disaster for our family.
Mm. And so your dad packed up all of his boys and moved to Charlevoix.
That's it.
And that began your life in northern Michigan.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you went to school in Charlevoix then?
Right, St. Mary's and also Charlevoix High School.
And you graduated from Charlevoix High School?
Right.
What year did you graduate?
1960.
So were you familiar with Boyne City growing up in Charlevoix?
We came over here for, you know, football games, basketball games, because I played on the sports teams.
And, oh, so there was that rivalry.
Right. And we come over once in a while to the co-op to have grain ground because we were out on a farm.
Okay.
And, but I don't have, you know, crystal clear recollections, you know, of what Boyne City looked like other than the school, you know, downtown, the old gym and the football field and coming into town.
Then you were one of those rowdy people that came over from Charlevoix to tear down Boyne City goalposts?
I don't think we ever did that on my watch.
Not that you're going to, you know, let us record anyway.
No. But we did have the Boyne City beat the daylights out of us, so a couple of years in a row, and had Carl Sharon on the Boyne City team. He was All-State, All-America. I was part of the 57, 58, 59 team. Team 58 and 59, we were state champions 2 years in succession.
Wow.
We returned the favor.
Wow. What position did you play?
Linebacker, defense, and middle guard, pulling tackle on offense.
Got it. I have no idea what any of that means, but okay, sounds good. Sounds good. So you... So you had five brothers then?
Mm-hmm.
Are all, I know that some of them have passed. So are there any that are still around?
Brother Rick, who's the manager of the Belvedere Golf Course.
Oh, okay.
And my brother Roger, who has a home in Charlevoix. He's retired. And two brothers in Nashville, one in Hawaii. A couple of them have summer homes south.
Got it. A lot of these questions, I kind of want to get to the Boyne, what you recall about your, you know, Boyne City history? What year did you move to Boyne?
Well, 1972, we bought the Sears catalog franchise for Boyne City. And 1973, we had a house built.
Hold on, I'll pause this real quick.
Character.
Yes. So we were talking about the Sears. You bought the Sears store in Boyne City.
Mm-hmm.
And what year was that?
72.
Okay.
And we moved here in 73.
So where was the Sears store located at in Boyne City?
Mary's Clothing.
Well, it's the original location was what we refer to today as the Fochman's Building.
Okay.
It was the Sears building to start with.
Okay.
And then we subdivided it, and we had a tire shop there, and we're right across from the drive-up where Huntington Bank is.
Got it.
That parking lot there.
Got it. Okay.
And we were in that building for 7 or 8 years. And then we moved to the building where the old Superette, which was Remax at one time. And now it's empty, I guess, at the moment. It's got some offices in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And we were there for another 7 or 8, 10 years. And then we bought the buildings where the old newspaper was from Greg Smith, you know, where the library, or not the library, but the bakery and the Mary's of Boyne.
Yep.
And where Remax is now.
Got it. So those were all different, you moved your Sears store to all those different locations.
Well, we just operated out of where Mary's of Boyne is.
Got it.
But we used the building, which is now the Cat Development, for our storage building.
Oh, okay, got it.
So it was sidewalk to sidewalk with moving tractors and heavy equipment and stuff like that.
So what kind of things did you sell at your Sears store? Like what?
Well, back in those days, before the big box stores came to northern Michigan, we sold everything.
Got it.
We'd get calls from all over the United States where people bought a summer home up here or come here to move, and they'd call ahead of time, place an order, and we'd either deliver it or they'd pick it up.
So it was like they would look through the catalog, find something that they wanted, mm-hmm. call you up, and then you would have it sent to your store, and then they'd either pick it up or you'd deliver mm-hmm. it.
And it'd be mattresses, you know, hot water heaters, or you name it, anything under the sun.
Wow.
I mean, it was a good business.
I bet you saw a lot of people.
Oh, we did. We had like, at that time, I don't know, 13, 15 employees.
Oh, wow. Wow. And you were open 7 days a week?
Six.
6 days a week?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And that was in operation from 1972 until?
25 years.
1993, when Sears closed the catalog business.
Oh, wow.
And then we reopened. We bought a John Deere franchise, and we bought a John Deere franchise for consumer goods and Western Auto franchise. And we reopened as a Western Auto store.
Got it.
And then along came Sears, and they bought 50% of the Western Auto. And then they ran that in the ground too.
Man, you can get Sears out of your life.
Yeah.
Western Auto was probably better than what Sears is.
We got to know a lot of people in Boyne City because of that.
Yeah.
And I also served on the bank board for
my kids were small at that age.
The old Northwestern State Bank for about, I don't know, 15 or 18 years. And then I served on the First Michigan Bank Corp when they bought the East Jordan State Bank out.
Oh, okay.
East Jordan, while I was on the board, expanded to 5 different locations. Originally, it just had the East Jordan and Boyne City. Now we went to Mansalona, Bel Air, Petoskey, and Charlevoix, open locations. This was all in the 90s.
Got it.
That was a fun job, too.
Being on the bank board?
Yeah. Well, how would you call it? We were ambassadors, you know, for the bank, and it was kind of, how would you call it? you know, being a product advocate, you know, it's steering people, you know, to helping people with their financial needs, you know. Mm-hmm.
So what were some of the things you do on the bank board? I mean, besides being an advocate for the bank.
Well, I think, you know, a bank board like that is usually the primary goal or the primary, I would say, job is to create policy and allocate resources.
Okay.
I think that's, I mean, it's tightly wound as far as an explanation, but it's something where things are done for the betterment of the community and the safeguarding the assets of the bank. And banking really changed in the 2000s because the old East Jordan Bank was primarily owned by the primary shareholders were the Malpas family. And they really took care of their people. In so many ways, they were very benevolent people. They made a lot of, how would you say, character loans, you know, to get people started or pull them out of the ruts or whatever it took, you know. A lot of loans were done on a handshake basis even. That's the way banking used to be, but with all the pitfalls and the, you know, errors of their ways of the bigger banks, there was so much new enforcement came down the line that it was very difficult for small banks to, you know, operate in that environment and be profitable because it just, there was so much paperwork and regulation went with it that it made it difficult to, you know, stay with the charter with East Jordan. So we merged with a bigger bank corp that had the resources, you know, the liability and regulation resources. So it was an interesting trip.
Yeah, sounds like it.
It was like I wouldn't call it a part-time job. It was a full-time job, you know, besides running your own business.
Right, yeah.
I mean, you were there for, you know, to help the community.
Now, so then does that mean you knew Howard Darby?
Very well, yeah.
He seems to keep coming up in these interviews. It's kind of...
What a
generous man.
He did.
He really was. And, you know, what was really interesting about Howard is when we first wanted to buy the Sears catalog franchise, I was about $5,000 or $6,000 short of, you know, having a, how would you call it, a war chest or, a backup funds, you know, a rainy day fund to operate with to make sure, you know, we could get all our bills paid. And that's something Sears really insisted on. And we begged, borrowed, and loaned, to get where we were. But at that time, we had all our money tied up in a store over at Gaylord. Because when I first quit Kmart, we opened a store right next door to the Sugar Bowl in Gaylord. It was called the Gaylord V Store, variety store. And we had our money tied up in that. And I come in to see Howard Darby, this makes sense. The bank's right across the street. And I put a business plan together, you know, what I thought I could do based on the way things were operating at Gaylord, because they was one of the first new franchises for Northern Michigan. And I was sending people over there all the time because I couldn't carry everything, in our store. And I had mentioned to him, a franchise ever comes up in Northern Michigan again, I want you guys to let me know about it. And then I got word about Boyne City being open for it. And first meeting with Howard Darby, I went in and I told him, he asked me, how are you going to work all this together? And I says, well, basically, if you're a banker, I told him, it looks like you rob Peter to pay Paul. And I said, I've got all this hanging out there, and this is how I've put the financing together, and I need another $5,000. And he left me sitting there for about 45 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
But when he came back, he had a check for $5,000.
Wow.
Well, Ron is one of the few people that I know left in Boyne that can appreciate going to the bank and get a little Darby. Mm-hmm. That was, sometimes it was...
Well, from my parents, you know, it went on down the line quite a bit.
Yeah, we borrowed $5,000 from her. We borrowed $5,000 from the Gaylord Bank. And we borrowed... I borrowed $5,000 on two different credit cards, $5,000 each, because we needed like $25,000 to buy the franchise, and then you had to have another $5,000, you know, in escrow. Mm-hmm. You know. So we were short that last $5,000. But anyways, he left me sitting there, and we were in good standing with the Gaylord Bank, you know, because we'd borrowed it. I think $35,000 or $40,000 to refixture the store over there, and the thing had been emptied for years, and they were going through the Alpine branding of, you know, Gaylord, mm-hmm. and they wanted all the storefronts to look like, you know, have that Alpine motif, and so they were taking a chance on us over there too. And 2 years we had it all paid off.
Wow. So have you and Elaine always kind of worked together and been partners mm-hmm. in the business?
Yeah.
Our kids were young at the time, so I wasn't there all the time. But
she would help?
Bring, oh, yeah. Play piano, and, you know.
Yeah, if I had to go make a delivery or something, she'd come in and sit and answer the phone and take orders. And
computer. Yeah.
So how did the two of you meet?
Carefully. But I want to finish Darby story. He left me sitting there for about 45 minutes, you know, and he came back with a check, and anyways, when Howard retired a few years later, and a board opening came up, anyways, they nominated me to take his place on the board of directors when they had an opening, mm-hmm. which was really brought me to tears. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea that, you know, you got paid for this, or mm-hmm. most of it was stock, you know, bank stock. But it really opened my eyes to, you know, business. Mm-hmm. And getting back to... I got my story mixed up a little bit, but when Howard retired, we had a retirement party for him. And anyways, I asked him, I says, you know, that first day we met, I came in there, and he left me sitting for 45 minutes before he brought that check back. And I asked him, I says, how did you make a loan like that, or why? And he says, well, we needed something like that in Boyne City, and number two, you didn't try to BS me.
You're straight shooter.
Yeah. I said, well, did you call Howard Elgus over at the bank? He says, no.
Must have been your Rob Peter to pay Paul comment,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
So it was a good trip. Mm. It was a good time. Mm. It was a blessing, mm. you know, to be taken under his wing. And he did a lot of coaching, too, you know, I mean, as far as... board procedures, business, you know. It was kind of like being, you know, mentored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be a better way to describe it. He was one of my mentors.
Mm. Seems, yeah.
True. No, I was from New Mexico and
on
the ranch.
Right? Oh, you're from New Mexico.
I went 1 year of college in Las Vegas, New Mexico, and I said, that's enough for me. That's all I wanted. So I went back home on the farm, helped my dad for a couple of years and bucking the bales, and, you know, I was a cowboy. Because we didn't have any boys in the family, so we did that.
Well, anyway. Yeah. So, and how did we meet? I was going to college at the University of New Mexico. I'd just finished serving 4 years in the Air Force, and I stayed there and started going to college full time, and I guess I was probably on the Albuquerque Police Department for about 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And working as a city policeman, city of Albuquerque. That time was a city of about 300,000 people and had about 700 or 800 officers. And it was an interesting job. But one day I went into the Payless Drugs, which was right across the street from the Student Union, and I always bought my supplies in there. And anyways, every time I went in there, she was smiling. And one day I asked her if she'd like to, asked her if she liked fish. So they had.
I wasn't Catholic at that time.
Anyways, the Placidas always had a fish fry on Friday nights for $1 or $2, something like that. So that was our first date.
Aww.
But the thing is, I had an older sister that kept saying, come on, Elaine, you got to have staying on the farm. See, I was 23 before I left the farm. That was old, you know, at that
Yeah.
So anyway, she says, come on, Elaine, you got to get yourself, got to do something. So I went to their house in Albuquerque, lived there for, 9 months or something, and then I got out into an apartment with, we had two Lindas and two Joels in our wedding. the one Linda stayed with in the apartment with me, and then she wanted to move out about 2 weeks before I was to get married. That's, so Alice, what's her name? Bush, I think is her last name.
Gal that you worked with.
From Payless Drugs, where I worked, took me in for 2 weeks, and then that was history from there on. So
how many years have you two been married?
51.
It was 50 years last year.
Wow.
51.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And he brought you to Northern Michigan.
He did. Yeah, I had 4 months to make up my mind. Because our family was there, you know?
Yeah.
At that time.
Well, Albuquerque in those days was the wild, wild west. Mm. And heroin was a scourge like it is today. And the thefts and the murders and the gangs and, you know, drug gangs coming from across the border all met in Albuquerque, and they did a lot of house cleaning there too. I mean, that wasn't what lifestyle I wanted to stay with, you know, being a policeman in that town.
So what year did you guys move back to? Did you move back to Boyne City?
We moved to Charlevoix first.
Got it. Charlevoix
twice. We moved to Charlevoix twice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we had a house that was, well, actually, we rented the first place, and then my parents were living down at Bridgman. My dad was an engineer and working. He was a project manager for Bechtel on a nuclear power plant that was being built down there, and the house was empty, so we rented the house from my folks. Hmm. And I drove back and forth from Gaylord every day for our store over there until I got a house built in Gaylord.
You said to give them time to think and to, you know. Mm-hmm.
But anyways, the house we built in Gaylord's exactly the same house we have built in Boyne City.
And sliding doors was not on the west side anymore.
That's the only difference in the two houses was we didn't have a...
It was cold, you know, in the wintertime.
We didn't have sliding doors in the dining room.
Right.
But... Anyways, here we are 50 years later, you know, being blessed.
Now, how many children do the two of you have?
Yeah, three.
Three children.
No, we just have one that's living.
Yeah.
We lost our daughter Debbie in 07, 09, and lost Randy in 07.
Yeah.
And that's been that long ago.
Yeah, it's been that long.
Wow. Ugly cancer.
Yeah. Cancer's been really cruel to you, Ron.
I remember them from the hospital.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like it's that long ago.
No, it doesn't, but it has been.
Yeah. Mm. We had a lot of donations came in for
but
Randy.
Thank goodness we got two lovely little children from Tammy.
A lot of memorials, and we turned them all over to the Charlevoix Hospital with the, and they dedicated a couple of rooms there with this picture on them with in the sleep center. Mm. So that was a. Some good came of it.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've covered your time as a store owner. What about switching into the mayoral?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when was your term?
Well, Steve Moody and Bill Grimm, a couple of old-time, and Keith Fitzpatrick. These guys were all getting up in age, and they twisted my arm about they wanted a businessman on the council. Mm-hmm. And when I retired and sold out our businesses, 98, anyways, 1999, I was elected to the city council, and I've been on there since. I'm in my 18th year right now.
Wow.
And anyways, it's been quite a trip. But, you know, looking at the business side of it, when I first went on the council, we were bleeding, you know, financially. And I mean, Boyne City didn't have any money, didn't have anything. But we were picking up the tab for ambulance, fire, and a lot of services for six townships that were getting a free ride. And first thing we did was and it took some real arm twisting, especially with a couple townships, to buy into it, to pay their fair share of the cost of the fire department. And that took a while. And then this ambulance agreement we currently have now, that took about 3 years of negotiating before we finally put something together. But I was involved in that directly, both of those events. And it was a team effort. But when the opportunity came, when Eric Stahl resigned his position, we went out looking for a person that was business-oriented. And that's when we brought Mike Kane on board about 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's in his 15th year with the city.
That's amazing.
And
good cookie.
We were very picky about, you know, who we hired. And personally went down and did, you know, interviews with people in two of the different cities. He served as city manager, and we hired him. And it's the best thing we ever did.
Mm.
I mean, he was really connected well to Lansing. And I mean, as far as some of the things that he's done to, how would you say it, give us a lifeline to the money market, you know, especially grants.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point in time, in 15 years, I believe we're real close to having received $15 million in grants.
That's amazing.
And a lot of it was, most of these grants are competitive grants where you have to pay, you know, have a percentage. Sometimes it's 50%, sometimes 25%. And he has put a team together, staff-wise, that it's just really remarkable, you know, the grant writing abilities we have locally, plus the support we have with Northern Lakes Economic Alliance for grant writing and managing the projects. Now, without Northern Lakes Economic Alliance, we'd have to have probably 1.5 or 2 full-time equivalents on the city staff. And we're doing more with less, I mean, as far as staffing.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the things that's there was a lot of objections at first, you know, particularly unions, but this is the way it is. And you get, the more modern your equipment is, the more efficient some things can be done, and it eliminated some jobs. But there was some of these cost savings, and staffing, you know, helped us with the, you know, competitive grants, and also with the... as I said earlier, too, having agreements with 6 townships, not only for fire and ambulance, but everybody's paying their fair share of the cost of doing business.
Mm-hmm.
The ambulance budget this year is going to probably be close to $900,000. Fire has probably averaged $350,000 to $400,000 the last few years, and it's split up proportionately, you know, fairly amongst 6 towns. We also do, you know, planning and zoning for 2 other townships in addition to Boyne City. We've done a lot of collaboration with the other cities that has just worked well as far as saving staffing time and and also the cost of equipment and resources. So it's been a wonderful trip, but it's been a team effort.
Mm-hmm.
And then along came Main Street, too.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
Where, you know, it's Mike on his desk there, he has a little saying, is miracles just take a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of truth in that, but it's determination, hope, belief, faith in your the people that work with you, and they've been able to shoulder the task.
Mm-hmm.
And look what's happened.
Yeah.
And Main Street, you know, basically people ask me, what is Main Street? Well, it was an investment to start with. We had a couple of commissioners that really didn't want to spend the money, you know, to go to a national convention and find out, you know, what this is all about. But basically, what is Main Street? It's, to me, it's taking a good page out of another town's book, you know, as far as events and procedures and different things that make a city thrive. And so, you know, in order to implement some of these things that other towns have done, you don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of the biggest blessings we've had, you know, as far as events, which has been a real catalyst for, you know, development, growth. And we've become a restaurant donation, but we've become a city where people want to live. In some ways, we've been our own worst enemy as far as affordable housing, because people have bought up all these houses and their second homes instead of, you know, family working home, you know,
mm-hmm.
working
right.
family homes. So it's, the story is not finished yet.
No, no. Right.
Well, it's almost like history has a tendency to repeat itself.
Mm-hmm.
Boyne came from a lumber industry,
mm-hmm.
and at that one time a major lumber supplier,
yeah.
with all the support facilities here. And then when lumber ran out, Boyne literally died.
Yeah, it went from 18,000 down to about 2,500.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She came back. Mm-hmm. And you go from industry to town to people to tourism. But you have to maintain a mix and a base all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
But it's coming.
Yeah.
Boyne City has come back. A lot is due to your guidance. And the mayor before you and the mayor.
And a team effort.
Yeah.
Team effort. Not only him, but it's been a team effort.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we really have worked as a team.
Mm-hmm.
That's truly remarkable.
But it's usually the quiet member of the team that gets it done. And the squeaky wheel catches the flack.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
not.
Well, you deserve a lot of credit that you don't speak up for.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
I think Mike, I think he's such a nice guy. I just mm-hmm. can't get over him. He's a go-getter if there was one.
Yeah. Sounds like it might be a little bit of a perfect storm, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You got just the right mix of talent and citizens. And
mm-hmm.
Yep. So what do you think one of the biggest changes that you've seen in Boyne City over the years has been?
Trying to think. Come on, you can do it.
No, there's two or three things that are rolling through my mind, but just number one.
The walks.
We can hear it's the two or three.
Well,
go up Boyne City, yeah. There's Lord Charlevoix, that's a big thing right there.
Well, I think number one, we've become fiscally responsible. That might be the catalyst for change. Because when we came here, 20 years ago or 18 years ago when I came on the board, there was no capital expenditure plan, you know, for sidewalks, for roads, equipment, no depreciation schedules. Everything was just, this is the way we do it. I've done it for 15 years or 50 years, and this is the way we're going to keep doing it. And we became fiscally responsible because we adopted a business model that was in time, in tune with the times.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the next thing is there's been a cultural change. And then I think the third thing is Main Street, where life meets lake, you know, our branding
mm-hmm.
from Main Street. Something that Charlevoix's going through right now. That'll be interesting to see how they come out with their
mm-hmm.
their branding. But it's, you know, we've got that on all our, you know, literature, all our brochures, everything, you know. The swish, you know, it's jump in. Oh, you were part of that, you know.
Yeah.
So you understand the branding part.
Yep, yeah.
That's, and I think maybe item number four is the internet.
Yeah.
We've been found out.
Uh-huh. Oh, right. So you think that maybe the internet helped kind of like market Boyne City, so people made it discoverable. That's an excellent point. I never really thought about that.
Well, and the cooperation, you know, too, maybe number five is collaboration, you know, where you look with the, you know, the chamber, the Main Street, the library, mm-hmm. Northern Lakes Economic Alliance, Boyne Mountain, all of us are all on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, we're pulling the load together. And there's no favoritism one over the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's a key component of this era
yeah.
and this change. So there's a lot of moving pieces. Maybe five's not enough.
Maybe five.
We started with one.
But, yeah.
You know, but first we had to become first fiscally responsible and have a business model that worked.
What do you think some of the biggest challenges facing Boyne City going forward?
Well, number one is, like I say, we've become our, maybe, and I won't use the phrase worst enemy, but, you know, it's affordable housing. You know, the housing, we've been found out, and we've got 700 non-homestead partials in Boyne City. Out of 2,200, I think there's 2,296 or 98 residences, dwellings.
Wow.
700 of them are second homes within the city.
Yeah, wow.
And we don't have that many condos.
Right.
I mean, we've got about 150 condos. So you've got another 500 homes that are occupied, could be workforce housing. A lot of them have been fixed up.
Mm-hmm.
And people have, you know, they love the culture and they love to be up here. And, you know, it's just like the neighbors we're surrounded with, almost all of them are second homes.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, just on a plain, ordinary house, but you look at all the houses have been fixed up in this town.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just beautifully.
Yeah.
Some of these houses, there's four or five old Sears houses even.
Mm.
They've turned them into dollhouses. I mean, they've put dormers on them and they've done different things, and it's, mm-hmm. you'd never know it. They're 100 years old. In fact, our daughter's in-laws are up here at 604 South Lake Street. They got a house there that's over 100 years old, and you'd never know it after what they did to it. I mean, they put twice as much what they paid for it, you know, to fix it up. But I mean, it's
sold your house in Chesaning and moved this way. So,
but I mean,
now they enjoy Sean.
But that story has been repeated hundreds of times in this town.
Mm-hmm. Right,
they had four sons.
Yeah, people definitely are investing in their properties.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got people investing in their buildings now, and you look at the impact of CAT development. That's just, we just pray that this project will become accretive and work out. And, you know, it's certainly been a blessing for our cities. And to look at the benefactors, Mr. Dow and Mr. Mm-hmm. Grove, you know, with the open space.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's about the same time Sears went out of business. I was going to buy the old United Technology building and put our store in there and sublease part of it. And Sears pulled the plug on us. Not only our franchise, but there was 2,300 franchises nationwide that Sears closed down.
Wow.
That was really a blow to Boyne City.
But then we went to Eastern Auto, and we were actually doing better after.
After a couple of years, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it took a little while to get established again, but.
Hmm. You get kicked in the head, you just.
I know, yeah.
Get back up on your feet and.
Start over again.
Start over.
Those entrepreneurs, man, they've got a spirit that just will not quit.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But we've been blessed, and it's we're just so grateful we're in Boyne City.
Yeah.
No, it's home to us. That's for sure.
You know, one of the things that happened,
you know what, too?
This was shortly after we bought the Sears franchise, the old... party store on the corner across from the Dairy Queen, Rouse's Party Store, had a fire. And just about every business person in town had jumped in there and helped the people like Cadence and Bogomas and what could be saved from Rouse's store, you know, help these people get back in business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was collaborative. I mean, there was nobody, you know, how would you call it? No strings attached.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like the Grices that had the dime store, they stored a lot of the stuff. We had probably half their store in the back of our store, all mm-hmm. stored for them. And people were, you know, working on, you know, cleaning the floors, cleaning the racks, everything. I mean, just, it was like a community event trying to help these people get back in business.
Mm.
And it was heartwarming. And it was the reason I mention this is the experience we had in Gaylor when the Big Boy burnt down. This was like in maybe 70 or 71, somewhere's in there, maybe 72. Shortly before us moving to Boyne City with her buying the business here, the Big Boy was on the corner right downtown, just three doors from us where we had the store. That would be to the west of us on the same side of the street. They actually had to have state police and police people. There was people looting the place.
Mm-hmm.
And the Vaughn's department store mm-hmm. and the other gift shop there, and it was a sad. There wasn't any business people that come to help these people.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, and then go to Boyne City and see the 180 degree difference. I mean, mm-hmm. it was how the community came together. It was heartwarming.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, we do. It seems like we have today, and we've always had really good mm-hmm. citizens, you know, really good residents in Boyne and surrounding areas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was a town with a big heart.
Yes.
Yeah,
yep.
For sure.
Definitely.
Reason number 6.
Yeah.
Coin that phrase.
Yeah, exactly.
A town with a big heart.
Brand that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are you most excited about for the future of Boyne City?
See our grandchildren grow up and take our place and become solid citizens. And we have 6 grandchildren that live in the area.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm just...
Someday, you never know.
But sky's the limit.
Yep, sky's the limit.
Yeah, we just... We said we're the poster card for success at the moment, but you know that can be fleeting too. It's
that's true.
Yep.
It's very easy to fall, when, you know, at the pinnacle of your success, too, if you're not moving forward.
Right.
You can't say yes to new projects. And it's one of the things I said last night in the meeting is we've established ourselves as a say yes community. You know, mm-hmm. we had this agenda item last night about rezoning up here on the northeast side of Boyne with the Vogel and Robinson, Vogel and Jefferson Street area, 30-acre parcel.
Yep.
And we as a group of commissioners have decided that we don't need to rezone it. We'd better to keep it under the zoning that it is and where we can control it, mm-hmm. what happens there. You wouldn't want a project to look like Bear Creek going in by Walmart, have something like that in your community all clustered. And
right.
I think everybody's thoughts, at least it seems to me, is that they'd like to see this housing, affordable apartment type housing, you know, scattered throughout the city rather than just have it all in one spot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's something we can control by leaving the zoning as it is.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't reject the idea of having a, you know, a couple of new apartment houses up in the area where the brook is, you know, as long as we have architectural control on it and streets, sidewalks, and just like the project on West Michigan or West Court Street.
Mm-hmm.
It's very nicely done.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some smaller homes there. And most of those were the 100 to 125,000 category.
Mm-hmm.
Condos that were under 100,000 when they were built. And you got the apartment house that Brooks built that it's got 24 or 36 units in it. It's really nicely manicured.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've noticed that.
Yeah.
But it's got the street was paved. Part of the project. That's things you can control, you know, with
mm-hmm.
with the zoning. So it affordable housing is probably our number one issue.
Yeah.
You know, at the moment.
Yep. And it's interesting to, you know, being very thoughtful and deliberate. So it's like, yes, that this is a need in our community, but mm-hmm. we need to be thoughtful about it instead of just rushing to say yes and, you know,
right.
getting something that we might regret later.
Mm-hmm. Very so, well said.
It's nice to know that there's thoughtful people
mm-hmm.
on our commission.
There are. We've got some good team.
Thinkers.
I think of it as a team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's, you know, the other thing is we've become, you know, our industrial park with the Team Boyne marketing it. And all the new businesses have been brought to the park. A lot of it has been because of having the internet. And there's more jobs in Boyne City's beltway going towards Boyne Falls than there is in the rest of the county put together.
With
hospital
smart.
Included.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got like over 1,400 family supporting jobs. You start downtown here and go straight up, you know, Boyne Avenue and go to the industrial park.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's amazing.
As you said, when industry comes in, when we want more industry, but you've got to be able to have a place for people to live.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's back to your affordable housing.
And the same way with the new restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
They're
right.
short of staff.
Yeah.
Well, I look at the landings closed for the winter over there at the Ironton Ferry.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't have people, couldn't keep up the people to keep it open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the Seven Monks, they're, I think they're closed on Monday and Tuesday. And they started out that way, so they didn't go full blast to start with, but, you know, for their winter hours, I don't know what Sticks Brewery's going to do. You know, as far as how that's going to go, they got a grand opening coming up at the end of the month here.
Yeah, that's what I read.
They got
that,
a soft
yeah.
opening right now. talking to Rich Bergman a few times recently, and things are exceeding expectations, but they could use another 4 or 5 people, you know, for the Boyne City tap room. And this Pine River Lodge thing has really gone over great. And he wants to put money in the theater now, too.
Right.
That theater's good. That's going to be a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, and this new gal that's coming on has managed, you know, in Allegan, the two theaters. They're both owned by the city down there.
That's what they were saying at the org meeting the other day, yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Are you on the board?
I'm on the organization committee.
Okay.
Yep, for Main Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's that'll be a resource. You know, it just things are falling in place. You know,
slowly.
It just, can you imagine having a theater open again?
Yay.
Yeah.
It's never done a darn thing since the Tom Gurn, or not, or Joe Gerlach owned it, you know, Joe and Kathy. And they had the porno films weekly and stuff like that. That's the last time the theater ever did any good.
I heard that they would do the high school plays.
Oh, yeah.
At the theater,
the
too.
Performing arts,
surprised.
Yeah.
I was surprised by that.
Right.
Well, yeah. When you stop and consider, when the theater was built, one of the main attractions people had to go to and do things were the opera house. Now, there was the Oddfellows Hall, which was used, but these were places that people could go in a group and enjoy things. And there were two other places built with the theory of opera houses being on top of it. But the theater was the one that lasted the longest.
Yeah.
And one of the few opera houses in this part of Michigan that didn't burn down. Because fire was one of the biggest disasters for towns in northern Michigan. Because everything was built from lumber. And you look at the fires that you've got record of here in Boyne. The buildings that were wiped out.
Yeah.
But it's, and again, you mentioned zoning. The importance of zoning and keeping things so that it's safe, it's survivable, and it still looks like Boyne City is a country, in the country.
And our downtown is so small compared to a lot of cities, you know. This is, how can this be an attraction? There's only one block or two blocks.
Yeah. You know? But that is the attraction, I think. Yeah.
Small is beautiful.
I know when we come from the south part of town and we come down and we see the hillside, it looks like a mountain. You know, and then you come down, lower.
It's
beautiful.
Pretty. We got a nice view of the lake from up where we are. You know, it's winter view, I should say.
Yeah, that's the way I am, too. Yep.
We first bought the place. I mean, we had a panoramic view of the whole bay because the trees weren't growing up. Of course, after 45 years, you know what?
Yeah.
Things grow up.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Seasonal view. I guess that's what the realtors call it.
Trees in the yard now.
Ugh. Yeah.
Like big-time leaves. But what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Just keep breaking them.
So, bottom line, we're in love with Boyne City.
Yep. Yep.
Have been, right from the get-go.
Well, it's a great place to end. Thank you very much, Ron.
You're welcome.
Thanks.